and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. A federal judge has blocked Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency from accessing Treasury Department records that contain sensitive information like Social Security and bank account numbers. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson says 19 Democratic attorneys general had sued to stop DOJ's effort.
Not only has he stopped access, but the judge has said that Elon Musk and his operation should destroy any of the information that they've already downloaded from the Treasury Department records.
Another federal judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration's plan to put 2,200 USAID workers on paid leave. Here's political analyst Larry Sabato.
This will give some slight hope to people who would like to slow down the moves by Trump and by Musk to eliminate things, often without any legislative approval.
The judge's order keeps the USAID workers in their jobs until at least Valentine's Day. A storm stretching from Minnesota to the Northeast will dump some snow this weekend. WBZ reporter Emma Friedman is in Boston.
Fred really isn't too concerned about the storm. He's got the big game on his mind.
I have the snowblower ready to go.
You have the snowblower. Are you here getting salt or anything for it?
No, batteries.
Oh.
Remote batteries for the TV.
He just wants to make sure his Super Bowl plans of eating junk food with the family isn't disrupted.
And hopefully the power stays on and everybody will be fine.
Emma Friedman for CBS News Boston.
Authorities are trying to recover the bodies of the 10 people killed in a plane crash in western Alaska. CBS's Dana Jacobson has the latest.
The Bering Air Caravan was headed to Nome when it disappeared about 30 miles southeast of its destination on Thursday. Coast Guard officials say all 10 people on board died. Crews are using a Black Hawk helicopter to help move the wreckage from the unstable sea ice.
Those crews are rushing to recover the bodies and debris before high winds and snow arrive tonight. Israel's health ministry says the three hostages Hamas released today are in poor condition. Gil Fire is with the Tel Aviv hospital that's treating one of the men, Ohad Ben-Ami.
It is evident that Ohad returned in a severe nutritional state and had lost a significant amount of his body weight.
Still, Fire says Ben-Ami has shown he is resilient in spirit. Israel released 183 Palestinian prisoners in return. Actor Tony Roberts has died. He may be best known for his roles in Woody Allen movies like Annie Hall.
One with the VPL.
VPL?
Invisible panty line.
Yeah, she's a 10 max, and that's great for you because you're used to twos, aren't you?
Roberts was also a Tony-nominated theater performer. He wrote in his memoir, he was never lucky at card games, but he was extremely lucky in life. Tony Roberts was 85. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. February is American Heart Month, and families are sharing their experiences with congenital heart defects at a time when what little research funding exists may get cut. Mike Moen reports.
Studies show CHDs are the most common birth defect in the U.S., affecting nearly 40,000 babies each year. The American Heart Association says thanks to progress in the world of research and treatments, outcomes have improved. But families still find themselves in delicate situations. Stephanie Johnson is a Minnesota mom whose son Henry was born with a syndrome restricting oxygen supplies to the body.
We also know that the honeymoon period doesn't last forever, and at some point his heart's going to get tired, and he'll be looking at likely a heart transplant at that point.
Johnson hopes for additional medical breakthroughs, but she and health experts note congenital heart defect research is grossly underfunded. Another complication is government spending cuts sought by the Trump administration and the potential impact on agencies such as the National Institutes of Health. Policy experts say this research arm has already been dealing with flat funding levels. In the absence of government support, current research heavily relies on awareness campaigns involving families navigating these health scares.
We need to move science forward, and creating awareness for this is just incredibly important because awareness leads to funding, and funding leads to hope, and we're hoping for a cure.
Studies indicate that congenital heart defects are underdiagnosed because milder symptoms aren't always caught at birth. That means the disease is detected later in childhood or when the person becomes an adult. This is Mike Moen for Minnesota News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Additional accumulation of snow today, maybe another 4 or 5 inches. We'll see a high near 24 degrees. For tonight, becoming partly cloudy with a low around 1. For Sunday, sunshine with a high near 16. Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 18.
It's 24 right now.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global Matt Randolph is back to talk about the Trump administration policies and how that's affecting us, heating our houses and filling up the gas. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. Earl Ingram is up first, and this week on The Earl Ingram Show, he welcomed on Reggie Jackson, nationally renowned scholar and journalist, for a conversation about race in the United States.
All right, welcome back to The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And it is at once a privilege and an honor for me to bring before you a man well-learned and well-known for what he has been able to do with his life. And more than all those things, a good friend, a dear friend, none other than Mr. Reggie Jackson. Good morning to you, Reggie. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Earl. Thank you. Appreciate being on the show.
Because we've done this over the years, but since I've been here, it's the first time that I've had an opportunity to have you on. But I got to do this before we get into it. Reggie Jackson is an award-winning journalist, speaker, researcher, and writer with deep, comprehensive knowledge of how our country's racial hierarchy developed historically and its impact on our lives today. Reggie is a graduate of Concordia University, co-founder of Nurturing Diversity Partners, and head griot of America's Black Holocaust Museum. He received the 2015 Eliminating Racism Award from Southeastern Wisconsin, YWCA, 2016 Courageous Love Award from the First Unitarian Society, the 2017 Frank P. Zeidler Public Service Award from the City of Milwaukee, the first ever Micah Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Ally for Hope Legacy Award in 2018, and on and on and on. In May 2018, he was appointed as but he's also an editor for the Milwaukee Independent. So he's a journalist. He's all of those things. But in May 2018, he was appointed as a member of the Milwaukee Equal Rights Commission by then Mayor Tom Barrett and Milwaukee Common Council. For over a decade, Reggie has been a much sought after speaker and presenter at churches, libraries, businesses, colleges, and universities around the country. Reggie served in the U.S. Navy for 6 years, including 4 years aboard the USS Missouri. From 2018 to 2010, he taught contemporary social problems and introduction to sociological as an adjunct professor at Concordia's Mequon campus. You also was, and you've been an educator. You've been a whole lot of different things, so you don't come to the table as a novice, you come to the table as a professional. And I just wanted to make sure that people were aware. And I certainly the accolades that you have received far outstripe the things that I just mentioned. I had to cut it short. But Reggie, I asked you to come on today. It's Black History Month. You've traveled the state of Wisconsin in areas where there are no black people and had dialogue with whites across this state. Let's talk a little bit about the way you see things today, man.
Okay, yeah, great. Thanks, Earl. And, you know, I was also a public school teacher for 8 years. It's part of my, you know, life journey. As I started to begin to get requests to talk about, you know, things related to African-American history and race and racism, things of that nature, and was invited to all these communities around the state, I had the opportunity for the first time in my life to travel to parts of the state that I had never been to before. So I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin, including Wausau, Green Bay, La Crosse, Platteville, Burlington, Janesville. I mean, so many different places. I can't remember the names of all of them, but from the north to south, the east and the west of Wisconsin, I've seen parts of the state that I'd never imagined seeing before. And I've gone to those places multiple times because people like the message that I send, and they think it's credible information, and they invite me to come back multiple times. And it's been one of the greatest joys in my life to be able to kind of see the state that, you know, I moved to as a child in 1973 in a way that I'd never seen it before. And it's been a great journey, and I've appreciated, you know, all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
So
things that, you know, these people don't know much about the African-American experience. So they asked me to come and, you know, share some of that with them.
So you always talk about misinformation, not so much education, but misinformation. What are we talking about?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that I tell people, Earl, I learned this many, many years ago, probably over two decades ago. I heard this African proverb that I'd never heard before. And it says, until the lion tells his story, the story of the hunt will always glorify the hunter. And what that simply means is that, you know, typically marginalized people never get to tell their version of the story because the story is always told by someone else. And so what that, you know, told me was that there's always more than one version of every story. There's different perspectives. And so I think people have gotten a lot of information from sources that I don't think are credible sources. You can't talk about, you know, anything about the history of women, the experiences of women, without talking to women, Earl. You have to talk to women if you want to learn anything about the experience of women. And people from marginalized communities have to have a voice if you want to learn some reality, some truth about how they see the world. And it's really just about perspectives, Earl. You know, everybody has a perspective based on their lived experiences. For instance, for me, you know, I grew up, I was born in a little town in Mississippi and moved to Milwaukee when I was seven back in 1973. And so I've lived in a lot of different spaces in my life, and I've learned a lot along the way. I spent 6 years in the Navy traveling around the world and understanding that, you know, people in different countries see the United States differently than those of us who live in the United States see it. So it's really about, where do you get your information from? Is it a credible source? And I think there's so much just incredible information that is missed by people because they don't know where to find credible sources or information. And it's replaced by misinformation. You know, a lot of people depend on social media for, you know, to learn American history. And I say that, you know, social media can be used as a tool, you know, to great effect positively, but by the same token, it can be used in a negative way as well. And so people get a lot of bad information depending on social media instead of going to credible resources to learn about things. It's incredibly difficult to know the difference. If you haven't been exposed to these things, you don't know what's credible and what's not credible. You just think, well, it's on the internet. You know, it must be true, is what I hear people say. And it's like, no, that's not necessarily the way it is. And so people oftentimes will give you information to support their way of seeing the world because they want to maintain the status quo. They want to maintain, you know, life as it's always been for them. So when I hear people say stuff like, you know, make America great again, first of all, I tell people that that slogan was not created by the current president and his team. That slogan was actually stolen from Ronald Reagan when he ran for president in 1980. That was his slogan, make America great again. That's where the slogan comes from, the Reagan campaign in 1980. And so, you know, we have to understand that we have to reach outside of our normal sphere of information to get different information. And there is so much incredibly rich information available to people. If you know where to go, if you understand how to do proper research, you can find the credible information. But people aren't taught in our schools how to be researchers, how to even be really critical thinkers. We don't think about critical thinkers. And when I was a teacher, I used to tell my students all the time, listen, you have to question everything. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just take the word of, you know, the author of the textbook. Do further research. Get confirmation of things in order to believe them. Get confirmation.
So if you're just joining us, I'm joined by Mr. Reggie Jackson. He's an award-winning journalist, speaker, researcher, renowned historian who's been in demand across this nation and especially the state of Wisconsin. But he's a good friend, and I have him on, and he'll be on several times this month. So I'll let you know what dates, because we're going to cover a lot of different territory. Reggie, your thoughts about where we are today with race in this nation?
Well, Earl, I think that we're certainly moving in the wrong direction when it comes to race relations in the United States. You know, for many, many years, we thought as a nation, we were told that, you know, we were moving into what people refer to as a post-racial America, where, you know, where race would not be important moving forward. But what we didn't know is at the same time we were saying we were post-racial America, that race still plays an incredibly important role in the way that we see ourselves and the way we see other people in our society. It's not something that, you know, we've gotten past just because of the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement did not fix America's race problem. It was not designed to fix America's race problem. And so where we are now, we're moving in the opposite direction where we're erasing some of that history, literally erasing some of that history by denying people the opportunity to hear other voices, you know, other perspectives. And that does not bode well for the future of this country.
Do you think that there'll ever be a time that race won't be a factor in this nation? Is it predicated on something that's learned, or what is the reason that people can't get beyond race as an issue?
Well, Earl, the idea of race is part of the basic fabric of this nation and how we've interacted with each other over hundreds of years. It's not something that just disappears. You know, I tell people all the time that biologically, race is not a concept. It's a social construct, but it's become so embedded in the way that we see things that I don't think it'll ever go away.
855-752-4842 is the number. I am joined by the one and only Reggie Jackson. Again, a griot, a historian, an educator, a guy who's so well known across this state and across this nation for his eloquence and his knowledge of race and the history of things. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Simply call me sweet where I
belong, the mother. The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park.
zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards named Chula Vista one of America's top 10 indoor water parks. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. The Grammys were the past weekend, and this week on the Maggie Dawn Show, Maggie reflected on Beyoncé's big win for Album of the Year with Cowboy Carter. Being only the fourth black woman to receive the award, Maggie remembers the three women who won it before her.
Jolene, Jolene.
Welcome back. Welcome, everybody, if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where I'll talk about, you know, pretty much anything, especially if you've got a question about it. And we now have a very special segment here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Each week on Fridays, starting this Friday at 3 p.m., we're doing a new segment called Ask Maggie. And she really... maybe we'll call it Ask Maggie Anything, because you really can ask me anything. If you want to get those questions in ahead of Friday, please email them to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. It is your opportunity to put your questions directly to me. Try to make sure the questions are on point, but they don't have to be specifically about the news of the week. They can be deeper dives. What's my hot take on why people become, you know, criminal defense attorneys? A question I get asked often at bars and when I'm out and about. Anything and everything is welcome about any and every topic. That's what I think is going to be super fun about it. And for those of you who sometimes think, Maggie, would you just take a wee bit of a breath? I've been listening to you flap your gums for far too long. Here's the fun part about the Ask Maggie segment. I only get 90 seconds to answer your question. So I'll have plenty of time for plenty of questions. And there's a timer running, so I have to shut the heck up after those 90 seconds. Again, you got questions about anything that you'd like me to address. Again, make sure the questions are in good faith. It can be about the news of the week, or some deeper issue that you've had, you know, gurgling up in your subconscious. Just email askmaggie@civicmedia.us and I'll be happy to take your question up. One of the reasons I mention that is that on the show, as a lawyer and an economist and someone who's worked in government for a long, long time, yeah, I talk about politics a lot on the show, but I also love to talk about sports. I'm a huge baseball fan. I used to play rugby when I was in college. I'm an old has-been athlete, but I love music and pop culture and all that kind of fun stuff. So today, as I often do, I'm mixing in a little bit of the pop culture with our politics. Don't worry, everybody. I will get to the political. But yesterday, some history was finally made by Beyoncé, winning the Grammy Album of the Year award, long overdue. In case you have been keeping track, everyone, she is only the fourth Black woman to ever win Album of the Year, which I think is an utter abomination. Thinking about all of the contributions of Black women in basically every single genre of music in the United States. Really, without Black women, Americana music, all American music types, isn't going to be anywhere near as diverse, deep, complicated, or where it is today without those contributions. And yet, so rarely acknowledged by the Academy's board of voters, except for these very handfuls, very few times. So to refresh our collective recollections, and the interesting thing here is that all of these awards, all of these prior Album of the Year awardees that were Black women, I have been alive for and seen them get this Grammy for Album of the Year. And the first one went to Natalie Cole many, many moons ago in 1992. Think about how long it took. The very first Grammy ceremony was in 1959, and it took until 1992 before a Black woman took down Album of the Year. That was her tribute album to her father. I remember it well. It is a beautiful album. The next Album of the Year went to Whitney Houston. No surprise there. I mean, how could anybody be cool with Whitney not getting eventually an Album of the Year? Now, she only won once. We can leave that for a debate topic for another day. And then the most recent one, the one that we have been in a long, long drought awaiting the return of a Black woman to the top of the Grammy podium, was Miss Lauryn Hill for an album which I still think is probably one of the best albums recorded of all time. She only did this once. She was a member of the Fugees. She released one solo album, and that was it. It's called The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. She won Best Album in 1999. So just to refresh your recollection, the 90s, you know, one of my favorite generations or decades. It might be because I was a youngin' back in the 90s, and that was when I was having all my fun. We had 92 Natalie Cole, 94 Whitney Houston, and then Lauryn Hill in 99. Both, all three indisputably major albums of just, I think, once in a generation, except we got three of them in the 90s sort of quality. So it has been a very, very long time. Now, if you've been keeping track on your Beyoncé scorecard, she's won basically every other Grammy category except for Best Country Album, which she also won this year, a notoriously hard category to crack. And she has been nominated for Album of the Year not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but this was her fifth nomination for Album of the Year. It's pretty incredible. She was first nominated 15 years ago for I Am Sasha Fierce. She is now on her third album of a basically artistic terror from Beyoncé, going back through Renaissance and Lemonade. We're expecting yet another, her third act in these visual albums coming up soon. She's hinted about an album drop coming up in the spring. It was an impressive and important moment for Beyoncé and finally ending the drought. I think there would have been a great amount of backlash had she not won. And I also think the universal acclaim, the respect of fellow artists for Beyoncé, you could see it because they panned after she was announced to the other nominees, including Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish. And Billie had tears in her eyes. And Taylor Swift was cheers and Jay-Z, which I was like, yeah, when your competition celebrates your win, pretty amazing. We're going to take care of some business. We're going to be right back. I'm going to give you the other bits of joy from that amazing ceremony last night at the Grammys in Los Angeles. You're not going to want to miss my take. We're going to move on to the tariffs then. How much will they cost you and your family? All coming up next right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News brief, a judge has paused the Trump administration's plan to place 2,200 USAID workers on paid leave. Here's political analyst Larry Sabata.
The only thing left to opponents of Trump's moves, including obviously shutting down USAID and apparently loads of other things, is the court system.
A storm system stretching from the upper Midwest to the Northeast is dropping more snow this weekend. Bob Orovec at the National Weather Service says there are more coming.
We have another system on Wednesday that develops across the middle part of the country and presses eastward and northeastward. So it's just a parade and parade of systems.
Israeli officials say the three hostages Hamas released today are in poor condition. CBS's Chris Livsay is in Tel Aviv.
In Israel, tears of joy for those men finally coming home. Their family and friends weeping amid visible concern at their physical condition. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that won't go unaddressed.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
We got something going here in Madison. Power play goal, Simon Tassie. 2-1 Wisconsin. Stops one and another again to his left. He scores. Oh, he ripped that one over the glove hand. William Grandma, like an octopus in a broom closet.
We are America's college hockey capital.
The relentless
Badger Hockey is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. And by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
Fans from Bob Johnson Rink inside the Kohl Center in Madison. Welcome to Wisconsin Badger Hockey. Tonight, the series finale between the Badgers and the Penn State Nittany Lions. Daniel Anderson is our producer at our Learfield studios in Jefferson City, Missouri. Happy to work alongside former Badgers defenseman and assistant coach Ian Perrin. I'm Ryan Posick. Well, a disappointing game last night for the Wisconsin Badgers, who are in position to potentially regain fourth place in the Big Ten and improve their status for a potential at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. But Wisconsin, after an early ejection to Ryland Mosley, struggled, especially in the third period, managed only three shots on goal in the final 20 minutes and lost to Penn State 2-0. The Nittany Lions improved their chances of a potential at-large bid and closing in on Wisconsin for fifth place in the Big Ten. Nittany Lions now 13-11-3, 4-10-3 in the league, and 5-1-2 in their last eight games. Meanwhile, the Badgers fell to 11-15-3, 6-12-1 in the conference, and when Michigan beat Michigan State, the Badgers find themselves 4 points behind the Wolverines for the final quarterfinal home spot in the Big Ten tournament. You know, Ian, for whatever reason, Wisconsin's had a lack of production here over the last several games. They were on a nice stretch where they had scored 70 goals over a 14-15 game period, but since the Minnesota series last weekend, the Badgers have only three goals. Two of those goals were scored in the opening period of the series opener against the Gophers, so only one goal scored for Wisconsin over the last eight periods, and that was with an extra attacker. How does Wisconsin get its offense going again?
Well, that's a good question, and you talk about the Jekyll and Hyde syndrome. You have to remember that they were down in both games against Michigan. Came back in the third period with a barrage that was second to none that we have seen all year long, and then you turn around and it's exactly the Hyde syndrome, because Jekyll just left the building and we're not scoring in the third period. We're not giving up. All we're doing is giving up goals in the third period. But I will say that last night's game, having coached for 20 years, it is the type of game that drives coaches crazy. You feel like you have no control. You get into a situation where five-minute majors really play an instrumental part in what you're going to do. And if neither team has success, then you're starting from square one again. But neither team has two players either, one from each side that ended up getting game disqualifications. And then it's playing the shuffle game. And
right.
That's a hard way to make a living. Coaching like that, that's a really hard way to make a living. That doesn't excuse the poor performance by putting the puck on the net. And I mentioned it last night. Tyson Dick had four shots on net, and all of them were from the blue paint,
yeah,
right in front. if he ever finds the back of the net, we're just going to open it up and make it into a well, because he'll just score at will when he's there. But it's when you're snake bit like that, I don't know if it's contagious or whatever it is, no matter what the Badgers did for all of their shots, they had nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
That's a tough pill to swallow, and don't kid yourself. It's wearing on their minds.
There's no question about it.
It's wearing on their minds.
Yeah, Anthony Kerr, the alternate captain, said last night that was not the way they're capable of playing. It certainly was not good enough, and head coach Mike Hastings will echo those thoughts when we hear from him coming up in just a bit. It's Wisconsin and Penn State in the series finale. The upper deck is open, expecting a big crowd here tonight for this series finale, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Experience love on the air with WFHR and WIRI. Now through February 13th, tune in Monday through Friday for your chance to win an unforgettable Valentine experience. Romantic dinner for two, exclusive tickets to the Bachelors on Broadway show, a blissful couples massage, and a stunning gold bracelet. Make this Valentine's Day truly special by showering your loved one with exquisite gifts from our cherished locally owned businesses. All thanks to WFHR and WIRI. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to celebrate love on the air.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You by Brady and the Ad Council.
Here at the Kohl Center in Madison, series finale between Wisconsin and Penn State tonight. Nittany Lions got a late empty netter and beat the Badgers 2-0. Mike Hastings, the Badgers head coach, I know you were disappointed last night. You referred to it as a dud. I'm sure. I know your players felt the same way. Anthony Kerr in the press conference was saying it's not good enough. We can't play like that and expect to win. So hopefully we see a turnaround here tonight.
Yeah, it has to be from the get-go. You know, that one, it's in the rearview mirror. You better learn from it. We better learn from it. And make sure we try and get off to a good start. We haven't done that at home here in the last three games, where we've had to play from behind and not utilize the people that are in the building. So we need that to change tonight.
As a head coach, too, you analyze everything. You've analyzed this, too. Why do you think that is? Can't get off to that quick start here at home.
Well, unlike last night, I look at the two games that we played against Michigan, and I'm going to say our goaltending probably wasn't up to snuff. last night was the first one, you know, it gets behind them and they find a finish, but we have to take a zero off the board on our side. You know, we can't be shut out at home. No matter how good of a goaltender is or what the other team's doing, that's just what we can't do if we're going to be successful here. So in my mind, it's about getting out. We can't be fragile when bad things happen. And if you saw what happened in both Michigan games, we had goaltenders that didn't get good starts. We stayed with it, found a way to win on Friday and you know, the overtime game on Saturday. So I'm hoping this one's an anomaly. We got to let this one just go away, go out, prove ourselves in the first 5 minutes and get the crowd into it.
That said, too, when Rylan Mosley was ejected for contact of the head, that threw your team a curveball, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And he's a big part of us. You know, in my mind, you look at it and it's opportunities for others. Sure. But, yeah, I think it rattled us a little bit. It was an experience that we don't want to go through again from two sides of the fence. One, if something bad does happen, got to man up and get after it. Doesn't matter if something bad happens because that's what happens in athletics. And the second one is you know, I think he's chomping at the bit. He'll be back in the game tonight. That presence from a physicality, an offensive, a voice in the room, he's somebody that we, you know, utilize in many different areas. And so for us to lose him like that, again, adversity, you've got to grow from it and make sure that we take advantage of him being in the lineup again tonight, hopefully for the entire game.
And Ryland brings a positivity, too, that all of a sudden wasn't on that bench last night.
Well, positivity, it's just confidence. You know, he's a guy that's been around the block before, played in really important games. He's a bit of a calming influence for us. And so we've addressed it, talked to other guys that if that does happen, we need different people to step up. But I'm glad that he's back in the lineup.
Badgers and Penn State. More with Mike Hastings coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance, like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Which schools will take home the prestigious Learfield Directors Cup as the top college athletic programs for the 2024-25 college athletic season? You can follow the standings of your favorite team or alma mater at L Directors Cup on Twitter and online at TheDirectorsCup.com. Trophies will be awarded in June 2025 to the winning institutions in all college sports divisions. Learfield Directors Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Wisconsin and Penn State here tonight, series finale, a little bit after 6 o'clock. Mike Hastings with us. You know, we were just talking about how, you know, things didn't go your way last night. Still a one-goal game in the third period, you know. So, again, you're in these games. At some point, hopefully it clicks and you make the plays you need to make.
Yeah, you know, Tass had one on the back door late. And, again, we've got to make sure that those go in the back of the net. It's been something we've been trying to work on. And, you know, for the most part, when we're successful we have secondary scoring. And last night, we didn't have that first unit going. We didn't have anybody picking up the slack. For us, we've got to be a deeper team, and we've made some adjustments that way in the lineup. Hopefully, we can get some scoring throughout the lineup.
Yeah. When you're effective, too, you're getting seconds and thirds. You talk about that. You put the puck in the net, funnel the puck to the net more, and then get to the puck for rebound.
Well, dirty areas. Yeah. Get in the paint, get second and thirds. You know, and then find ways to make that extra pass if it's there. Last night, we had a couple of opportunities that we had an opportunity to make an extra pass. We didn't. We shot when we shouldn't and passed when we shouldn't, and that's why you saw the goose egg. So for us, reset, get back after it in the first five.
Yeah. A couple of changes, too, in your lineup. Ryland is back, so he's with Gavin Morrissey and Quinn Finley, but you've moved Sawyer Scholl up with Christian Fitzgerald and Simon Tassie, and Tyson Dick, who's been playing on the wing, is going to play in the middle with Kyle Kukkonen on his right and Jack Horbach on his left. Tyson was really good last night. I thought Jack stood out, too, and Sawyer consistently gives you effort every single night.
Yeah, and I think he can bring some physicality to that line. Right now, we've gone three games, and we're not as productive as we need to be. So when things aren't working, you've got to try something a little bit different. And so Tyson Dick's a guy that can play both sides of the rink. He can play in the middle. He's done it before at the junior level and even at our level. And so hopefully this mix is going to be what we need tonight.
Badgers and Penn State, my thanks to head coach Mike Hastings. More of our pregame show on the way. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? Created more than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other drier, itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad,
and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Shatterproof and the Ad Council.
Center. They're calling tonight Buckyville. It's kind of a beach theme, a Jimmy Buffett theme here tonight.
How come I didn't know that?
Really?
I got some flip-flops that I could have
stepped on a beer can top or whatever the what's that part of the song? Stepped on a pop top.
Okay.
I could have done that.
You could have done that.
One of wearing a big bandage on my bare foot. I'm sure, with you had flip flops.
Sure, you had flip flops living in Spy Hill, Saskatchewan.
Yes,
right?
We didn't.
Right. Penn State last night, you know, here's a team, Ian, that's playing much better. They went through an eight-game winless streak, an 0-8 start in Big Ten play. But, boy, of late, I mentioned earlier, 4-2-3 in their last nine Big Ten games. Overall, they're 5-1-2 in their last eight, only two losses in their last 12 games overall. And actually, if you speak with Guy Gadowski, just like if you spoke with Mike Hastings, neither coach was overly enamored with the way his team played last night, but they're finding ways to win. And really the difference last night for Penn State was their big gun, Aiden Fink, came through with an empty netter and set up the first goal of the game. And their goaltender, Arseny Sergeyev, pitched the shutout for Penn State, stopping all 25 shots he faced. It seems like Wisconsin, when they shot the puck, just kept shooting it, and he would stand there and take it, oftentimes low. Is there any room upstairs against a guy that's 6'3", 6'4", that stands tall and doesn't go down into his butterfly like so many goaltenders do these days?
It does and it doesn't. I mean, he's so wide that the minimal amount of space that you have to shoot by his pads one way or the other. And I think it was on the NHL broadcast that I was watching today where they said that's the way that Brad Marchand is the only way he's going to beat that goaltender. The puck came all the way across, and the goaltender stood on the post and looked at him, shoot it in the open net.
Sure.
And I went, yeah, in college hockey, that kid would have tried to make a sprawling save. But in pro hockey, the guy knew he had no chance. So, I mean, it's 6-1, half dozen of the other, I guess, if you want to call it that. But he is a big, strong kid. He can make some reaction saves. I was very impressed with how he holds his ground, all the rest of that kind of stuff. And even when stuff got physical in front of the net and there was bodies flying all over, he was the first guy to lean on the goalpost and go, when you guys are done, let's drop the puck. You know, that's just kind of his attitude. Yeah. I don't think anything rattles him. That might be his best attribute.
Yeah, on the flip side, Tommy Scarfone had been struggling over his last eight starts, giving up 27 goals in that span. Last night, he let a goal in about 3 minutes into the game, a shot from the slot from their top goal scorer, Aiden Fink, that just slightly squeezed through his pads and trickled into the blue paint. They got to the puck before Wisconsin could clear it. Otherwise, Scarfone made some big stops along the way. Maybe he's getting himself back on track.
The key to me was that by Scarfone giving up what we would consider to be an easy goal,
soft goal, first one,
that may have been his inspiration to play better as he went. But the part that disappoints me is that he had to make several acrobatic saves with Wisconsin's system, you shouldn't have to make those acrobatic saves. Your backside guy should always be covered. There should never be a second shot from the slot, even if you get your own rebound. And those things weren't happening last night, so he was called on significantly to be in a situation where make the first athletic save, hopefully it doesn't go to their player, and if it does, bang, we've got to do it all over again. So, yeah, that's trying for a goaltender. It's hard on the goaltender. It's hard on the defenseman. It's hard on everybody on the team.
Scarfone stopped 24 of 25 shots last night, but took the loss. Wisconsin fell 2-0. Penn State snapped a seven-game losing streak against the Cardinal and White. We'll set the line charts for you and take a look at what else is going on in the Big Ten when we come back. Wisconsin and Penn State from the Kohl Center. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The countdown to saving Zion at Clary Building Corp. Get the best prices of the year right now at any Clary location, or contact us for a free consultation on the building you have been dreaming about. Clary has a building for every stage of your life. Visit clarybuilding.com today to see all of the amazing building options we offer. Don't let the clock run out for big savings.
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
Hey, Badger fans. You want your family to be warm and comfortable during the brutal Wisconsin winters, right? That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryan Heating and Cooling, who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryan systems. And ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not To Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist. End the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Said that Wisconsin's loss last night did some damage to its potential for an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. Wisconsin fell to 19th in the pairwise rankings and now four games under 500. You have to be at 500 to be eligible for an at-large bid. Penn State, meanwhile, moved up to 18, so the Nittany Lions improved their status. And while they're six games under 500 in the Big Ten, they're two games over 500 overall. As you look at the Big Ten standings, Michigan State 40 points to lead the way. Minnesota, which is idle this weekend, has 38. Ohio State continues to play well, 31 points. Michigan only 3 points behind the Buckeyes for fourth place, and now the Badgers are 4 points behind the Wolverines for fourth. Penn State only 7 points behind the fifth place Badgers, and the Nittany Lions have two games in hand on Wisconsin. Last night, Michigan won at Michigan State 2-1 behind the goaltending of Cameron Corpy, who stopped 38 shots. Those two teams playing at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit tonight at 7 o'clock Central Time. And Ohio State beat Notre Dame 5-1 in South Bend. Those two teams are even after one period tonight. Gunner Wolf Fontaine has scored for the Buckeyes. Danny Nelson for the Irish. And congratulations to the top-ranked Wisconsin women's hockey team, outright WCHA regular season champions. Today, the Badgers blew out third-ranked Minnesota 8-2 on Senior Day to clinch the regular season championship, the 10th in program history. Layla Edwards had a couple of goals and 4 points, and on Senior Day, senior Casey O'Brien lit the lamp twice and had 3 points. Now 28-1-2, the Badger women host the Gophers tomorrow at noon. That program just continues to win championships.
Those numbers just are freak numbers as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I played on some good teams when I was here when Bob Johnson, his dad, was the coach, but not with numbers like that.
Amazing. So congratulations to the Wisconsin women's hockey team. Before we set the line charts, we pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 seconds for a legal ID. You're listening to Wisconsin Badger Hockey.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Lineups tonight brought to you by Quick Trip for Penn State and their head coach Guy Gadowski. Arseny Sergeyev in goal, the 6'4 junior from Russia. He's 10-6-3 this season, a 269, make that a 259 goals against, a 913 save percentage. He has four shutouts, including last night. Starting defenseman, their captain, senior from Brockville, Ontario, Simon Mack, who has 19 points this season. And Kate Christensen, 6'3 freshman from Edmonton, has six helpers so far this year. And their top line, centered by Reese Laubach, the sophomore from San Jose. 11 goals, 23 points. He scored what proved to be the game winner last night, 3-10 into the hockey game. Danny Jania, 5'5", senior from Brooklyn on the left wing, 9 goals, 21 points. And on the right wing, Aiden Fink, the sophomore from Calgary. He lit the lamp for the 20th time last season with an empty net goal. He has 39 points on the season. We'll give you Wisconsin's line charts and an injury update when we come back. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the carpenters union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to this Civic Media station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now, whether on the radio, the app, the podcast, or stream. Audio is the number one source of information and entertainment among adults in the U.S. If you own a business or you're in charge of growing a business, this is a key fact, and you should know how it can work for you. That's where we come in. At Civic Media, our local radio stations influence local people, the same people who shop and buy at your place. Now we also reach those same customers wherever they are in the digital world as well. From podcasts to streaming to apps, laptops, and smartphones, our digital advertising capabilities ensure that we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. And with our state-of-the-art measurement systems, we can prove it. Schedule a short meeting to learn how we can partner locally to help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on sponsorship. You'll hear back within 24 hours.
Experience love on the air with WFHR and WIRI. Now through February 13th, tune in Monday through Friday for your chance to win an unforgettable Valentine experience. Romantic dinner for two, exclusive tickets to the Bachelors on Broadway show, a blissful couples massage, and a stunning gold bracelet. Make this Valentine's Day truly special by showering your loved one with exquisite gifts from our cherished locally owned businesses. All thanks to WFHR and WIRI. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to celebrate love on the air.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, Badger Hockey is on the air. People of